Analyst and research firm Securosis announced on January 4th that it'll merge with Security Insight, the popular blog and analysis site founded by pragmatic CSO author Mike Rothman. Everything will remain under the Securosis brand, says founder and CEO Rich Mogul, a former Gartner analyst who, along with CTO Adrian Lane, have quickly built the Phoenix-based operation into a go-to for security analysis and insight. Securosis has focused heavily on data protection and application security since its inception less than 2 years ago. Rothman's addition, Mogul says, will bring endpoint and network security expertise into the fold, as well as Rothman's pragmatic CSO program, which helps chief information security officers put a business context on information security programs. Mogul says the company's research will target mid-sized companies. Mike Momoso recently caught up with the Securosis trio.
All right, so I'm joined today by the boys over at Securosis. Thanks for joining me, everybody. I'm going to have CEO Rich Mogul just go around the room quickly and introduce everybody.
There's myself, so former Gartner guy and started Securosis. And then next up would be Adrian Lane, who's our CTO. As you can tell, we just kind of make up our titles around here.
Mike Rothman, I'm the new guy, as they say, so I still have that new guy smell. Not sure what new guy smell is, but I'm sure it's not good. But I'm certainly happy to be here and affiliated with my pals over at Securosis.
And then lastly, we have David Mortman, contributing analyst over at Securosis.
Y'all know me already. Hey.
Well, congratulations. It's a big day for you guys as a business and as friends, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're definitely pretty excited, and we've been getting some pretty positive feedback since making the announcement, so that never hurt.
You know, since this is for our mid-market security audience and for our site, I mean, talk about a little bit about your decision to focus on that particular market segment, and where are some of the research gaps there?
A lot of this came from, you know, I spent a lot of time, obviously, within Gartner. We were very focused on the enterprise, and we had a lot of mid-market clients there, clearly. But the needs of the mid-market are different, and to be honest, a big genesis of this was we'd always kind of looked at targeting more of the mid-market and smaller organizations because, you know, they don't need the same tone of writing as, say, a large enterprise client would. Their needs are different. I'm not saying less. I'm saying different. And Adrian and I were actually out at lunch one day about to meet with some financial types we're friends with, and we're kind of like, you know, we had the suspicion that the vast majority of security practitioners in the world are one or two people with full or part-time responsibilities in mid-sized and smaller organizations. And when we thought about the research that was being sold, A, was, you know, it's too expensive for most of those guys. B, it's not direct enough in terms of the kind of advice that it gives them. And C, it's not really tuned well for their needs. And we thought there might be a market opportunity for that. You know, it's clearly something that would be difficult for a bigger analyst firm to do. It's a different kind of research, different kinds of writing. So that's kind of, we thought, hey, that might be a good place for us to fit in.
Now, you know, it really is a matter of trying to help organizations. And again, you know, you'll hear the term out of Securosis a lot, accelerate project success. You know, you can outsource a lot of things relative to security, but you can't outsource thinking. And what we're going to be doing is building a set of, in effect, think about like toolkits or packages that are, you know, very focused on that mid-market security and IT professional to help them execute on a certain project that shows up on their desk. So it'll be obviously a lot more detailed than you know, what they can get on a lot of different websites, but it'll be structured in really a step-by-step manner to really, again, help them and take a lot of the research and really the uncertainty of how they should complete any of these projects off their plate so that, you know, they can really focus on the 50 other things that get thrown at them every day.
Mm-hmm. So, Adrian and David, does this focus on the mid-market, does it change the way you approach how you research topics or maybe more specifically how you write about them?
Well, I was just going to put all the Securosis knowledge into an appliance and sell it to the clients that way.
No, man, no, we're putting it into the cloud.
Yeah, you know, having been a CIO and having to security as a secondary responsibility, I think that kind of what drives my vision of what we're gonna do and how we're going to change some of the writing and some of the research materials we provide. There are there's just a different level of commitment and knowledge and research you're capable of doing when you're outside of the enterprise, when you can't dedicate people and funds to a particular task like data security. And you have to be able to accomplish business goals very quickly. And you know, where do you go for that? Who's going to tell you that? Because if you're going to go to the vendors, then you're going to have to, as Mike just said, you're going to have to wade through all the white papers and try to make sense of them yourself. You're going to have to go through hundreds of different product demos to try to figure out what they do, what they don't do, and what you actually need to solve the business problems that you have and security problems you have. So we really just want to tune this so that it just makes it easier and more obtainable by that sort of market. Where they just don't have the amount of time and resources at hand.
David, what are some of the questions you hear from mid-market companies that are a little different than what you might hear from the enterprise? Are they thinking on different levels, or what's your experience there?
In my experience, actually, the mid-market in a lot of ways is more focused on the end customer and on just getting the job done efficiently and effectively, in large part because often they don't have the compliance concerns, and often as a company they're more focused on one thing rather than a lot of large enterprises have a lot of competing product lines and things like that. So as a result, they don't tend to have as much funding for these sorts of things, like Adrian said. So they tend to be very focused on get it done efficiently and effectively and move on. And so as a result, there tends to be a lot more focus on very tight solutions and much less interest in lots of consoles and lots of products. They want, you know, small things that are very targeted and do it well, sort of like Unix, actually.
Yeah, I mean, we've had our mid-market site up and running for about a year now, and we've really found that the content that performs the best and content that people are looking for is really the foundational stuff, some, you know, firewall rule writing and tuning and network management and around security and how to get the most out of, you know, what you've already invested in. And it seems to me that that's really a driver there for the mid-market.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be. You know, so from that standpoint, and again, we, being kind of at the front end in what I'll call the security echo chamber, right, Mike? You know, we all hang out on Twitter, and, you know, we go to the, you know, Securosis Disaster Recovery Breakfast at the RSA conference and the like. And you know, we tend to be way out in front, and half the time you kind of lose your perspective and don't realize the fact that most organizations, especially in the mid-market, you know, may not have their act together from the blocking and tackling that a lot of us take for granted. Again, that's why getting back into the network security coverage area is very interesting to me, because, you know, I realize a lot of folks have spent money on having those kind of devices, but they may not be taking the most advantage of the technology that they've already bought. Because, you know, again, I mean, you know, you talk to folks and, you know, you say, what's your big project this year? And they say, you know, IPS. And that's been the same answer for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you really forget the fact that, you know, we in kind of the punditry space and you know, some of the media folks tend to, you know, really be dealing with issues that apply to, you know, a small swath of society. Not that these attacks aren't used on everybody else, but a lot of these organizations just aren't in a place to take advantage of the up-and-coming and latest and greatest defenses from a tactics and technique standpoint.
Just from your experience, what are some of the problem areas you hear coming up over and over around network security from smaller organizations? What are some specific problem areas for them?
Well, you know, you could kind of break it up into a couple of different buckets. So, first and foremost, I think that there continues to be, I'll call it a roughly change management issue. And not from the standpoint of like patching or, you know, any of that stuff, but, you know, just that you have administrators and or security managers that are in there, you know, making changes, and maybe they're requested changes, maybe they're, you know, to support a new application. But I wouldn't say that a lot of folks take the time to understand the ripple effects of a lot of the changes that they make. So, for example, let's say you're a retailer and you've got a new point-of-sale system that requires a wireless type of technique. So you go in and you know, you kind of open up what you have to in your main firewall, you set up your VPNs, but, you know, maybe you're not using the latest encryption, or maybe, you know, you've caused or that POS system isn't necessarily secure to the degree that it needs to be, well, that creates, again, the law of unintended consequences that, you know, by making one change, you've created X number of other exploits that are out there. So that's certainly one thing that, you know, we need to work with mid-sized companies to help them understand, you know, the importance of, you know, making sure that you do some level of, you know, application folks will talk about regression testing, right? You know, you make one change in the code and then you test a bunch of other stuff to make sure you didn't break everything. Well, we have to have that same discipline and that same mentality as we deal with network security, because, you know, the reality is you will make one change, and unless you're, you know, looking at breaking your systems and doing some level of analysis, whether it's vulnerability scanning, automated pen testing, going through and trying to really isolate what the issues are, you're going to end up in a place where you just have created more problems than you've solved. And you know, and the other thing that I mentioned, and we batted back a couple of ideas on this internally over the last couple of days, is really just the importance of understanding what's happening on your network. So, you know, it's just funny. When I was in the anti-spam business, you know, somebody would actually put one of the devices on their network. They'd start looking at some of the traffic, the emails that are going out, and they'd be like, oh, my God, you know, folks are, you know, sending private information. They're sending ID numbers. They're sending, you know, personal, all sorts of personal data. And again, these folks weren't doing it intentionally. It's just that, you know, the organization didn't have the visibility to know what was happening. So one of the things we're also recommending and talking about to this constituency is this concept of egress filtering, or actually looking at the traffic that's going outside your network. So, and again, if you've got devices internally that are, you know, either sending data or connecting to places in areas where you're probably not doing business, you know, that could be a problem. That could indicate that you've got some kind of botnet in effect. You've got compromised machines. And, you know, so there are fairly easy things that can be turned on with equipment that a lot of these organizations already have to give them a better perspective of what are the things that they've got to triage almost immediately. And that's really the pragmatic type of approach that we're going to take, which is, you know, you've got a lot of this equipment already, or, you know, certainly can get it for a decent price. You just have to use it, and you have to build, you know, again, programs and structure around how you're protecting a lot of these resources to make sure that you're getting your money's worth from the investments that have already been made.
I'm wondering, you know, what you guys hear anecdotally or, you know, formally from clients and friends, just how hard did the economy and the recession hit this particular market segment around security and network security? Were a lot of critical projects put on hold, or, I mean, were, you know, only critical updates getting funded? What were you guys hearing?
Well, again, I think there's a big difference depending on which part of the market you're talking about. On the enterprise side, things slowed down a little bit, particularly in the procurement process, but I don't think they got hammered too hard. You know, Mike might have different feedback having tried to sell into that market more recently. A lot of things got delayed, though. A lot of projects got delayed. Things that would previously they might have bought a tool for, they actually used operational OPEX, operational money versus capital expenditures to handle it. And then the second is for the mid-market, I think they got squeezed more tightly because there were general cutbacks within an IT and the expectation that existing people, even if they didn't lose anybody, certainly there were more responsibilities added on, and then they had quite a bit more work that they had to deal with on their plate, which also means certain things were kind of put off, particularly capital investments, and it meant a lot more late hours at the office.
You know, we can also look at that from the vendor side, not just from the customer side, because we saw a lot of the vendors actually increase their revenues. You know, everything from UTM to some of the SIM and log management players seeing very good revenue growth, despite the economic downturn. But it was all over. It was both from government, from enterprise customers, as well as some of the mid-market.
Yeah, I would weigh in that it really, you know, and the mid-market especially, you know, they're going to be a lot more interested in things that help operational efficiency, right? You know, these folks have lots of projects and lots of, you know, hats that they wear on a daily basis. And, you know, when they're trying to make the case to their senior management, security isn't always the most important thing that they have to worry about, right? You know, I mean, obviously, if they've had some kind of breach or some kind of compliance failure, then, you know, that becomes top on on the hit parade to address. But, you know, short of that, you really have to appeal to these folks on an operational standpoint, which is, you know, by combining some of these things, which really drives towards, you know, some kind of unified threat management or, you know, integrated endpoint agent type of approach, because they've got to get leverage because they've just got so much stuff on their plate. And again, in this kind of economic environment, it's not like they're going, hey, let's double your budget, or hey, let's increase your staff. It's more likely, over the last 12 months, we've cut out 40 to 50% of your staff. We've cut your budget, and oh, by the way, we expect the same outcomes that we had before the downturn.
Right.
So part of that gets back to managing expectations on the part of the security manager, which is always critical. But the other part is also looking for solutions that are going to provide that leverage to really address more than just one problem at any given time.